أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سابقوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها كعرض السماء والأرض أعدت للذين آمنوا بالله ورسله ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير. لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ومن يتول فإن الله هو الغني الحميد. We are going through the tafsir of Surah Al-Hadid, and inshallah today we're going to be starting from ayah number 21, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses humanity and tells the humanity, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Rush or race towards maghfirah, towards forgiveness from your Lord. So Allah has basically made it a vision of people, basically they're all running, rushing towards something. And we, in America we call it, here we call it, the pursuit of the worldly affairs, the issue of capitalism. Everything is running towards one focus. And that focus is basically the pursuit of happiness, pursuit of peace, pursuit of satisfaction, pursuit of riches, pursuit of money. So this pursuit is basically, if we think about it, that's what everybody is rushing towards. So this imagery is something we need to keep in mind, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. What He's telling us is that you're rushing towards one thing. You're rushing towards the thing that all humans are rushing towards. The rat race, okay? Money and capitalism, houses, cars, everything that you assume that it will give you happiness and peace in your life. The reality is that what you should be rushing towards is forgiveness from your Lord. Because that's the thing that is going to benefit you eternally. The thing that you're rushing towards now, it is going to benefit you temporarily, and you're going to leave it all behind. So this is what is meant here, سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Rush, race towards maghfirah from your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعْرُضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And towards a Jannah whose width is like the width of the heavens and the earth. So, you know, whenever you have a rectangular shape, right, you have the length and you have the width, okay? And the width, usually, when you measure or when you look at a rectangle, the width is regarded as the shorter side of the rectangle. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that rush towards a Jannah whose width is like the width of the skies and the earth. So this, according to Mufassirin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has very purposefully used the word width to indicate that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, the length or the width of the heavens and the earth, is the width of Jannah. So what do you think about the length of Jannah? How long it's going to be? So the length is usually bigger than the width. Okay? So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word width here. وَعَرْضُهَا وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And rush towards the Jannah, the paradise, whose width is just like the width of the sky and the earth. And who has it been prepared for? It is not just for anybody. As is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةٌ. The merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expensive. It's not something cheap. It's not something that comes easily. What is the merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْجَنَّةِ. The merchandise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paradise. But who has been prepared for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the verse, أُعِدَّتْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. It has been prepared for those people that have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all of His prophets. Iman and all of His prophets. This is iman in Allah and all of His prophets, which also means obviously when a person has true iman, then he follows it up with a'mal and good deeds. So this Jannah has been prepared for such people. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whom He wants. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the greatest fadl, the greatest bounty, the greatest blessing. As we mentioned before, early in the surah, that our deeds in comparison to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us, our deeds are nothing. Our deeds, they are nothing in comparison to the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for us. So indeed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with a Jannah, which is so huge, that it's mentioned in the hadith that the last person that is going to come out of paradise, out of Jahannam, and he's going to be put into paradise, his Jannah will be 10 times bigger than this world. So just imagine what the fadl, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. For what? For what we do. Just pray 5 times a day for 10 minutes. Try our best to just stay away from these sins. Do our best to be good Muslims. And in return for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us so much. So indeed, this is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being displayed here. So this is what is meant by ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the fadl, the blessing, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whom He wishes. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has the greatest fadl and the greatest bounty. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes into describing an aspect of the human's life. When a person is going through this life and he's trying his best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then generally speaking, there are going to be hardships that come about. And especially when a person, you know, he converts from a different religion to Islam, and this was actually revealed about those people that converted from paganism and idol worship to Islam, and they had to make so many sacrifices. So obviously they made sacrifices, and during those sacrifices a person can feel that, you know, why is it that I'm going through so many difficulties? Why is it that I'm going through so many hardships? On the flip side, sometimes a person goes through good times, and he has a good job, a stable job, good income, a nice house, a very nice wife, obedient children, and everything. This is basically the ups and downs of life. Hard, easy, and comfortable, and sometimes uncomfortable. And hardships followed by ease. Ease followed by hardships. This is basically the rotation that we all go through. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing in this verse something that will make us very comfortable and make us very happy to understand. If only we understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this verse. If we understood this, then really whatever happens to a person, his situation and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change. He will always have that same relationship, and he will always keep in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will always maintain a very stable life. So Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. Whenever any hardship or difficulty or trial or tribulation, musibah means some trial or tribulation or hardship, if it comes on the earth meaning in the form of earthquakes, in the form of hurricanes, in the form of tornadoes, in the form of hailstones, anything that is regarded as somewhat of a disaster, this is a tribulation that comes on the earth. وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ, and also in yourselves, meaning a person becomes sick, a person he has a bereavement in his family, somebody passes away, a person basically has personal problems that he has, a divorce that he goes through sometimes. So Allah is saying that whatever happens to you, whether it's in the earth generally or specifically that happens to you, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهُ, everything was written before the earth was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wrote everything, and everything was destined to happen before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even created the earth. That's why it's mentioned in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ مَقَادِيرَ الْأَشْيَاءَ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَعَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wrote down the destinies of everything, of all the things, before He created the heavens and the earth, by before 50,000 years before He created everything. So everything was written prior to that. So now what happens is that when a mu'min, when a believer is faced with this difficulty, he turns it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destined this to happen, and whatever He wanted, it happened. Now this doesn't mean that a person should not be grieved, he shouldn't be upset, he shouldn't be worried. Of course, if a person is sick, he loses somebody in his family, he loses his job, there is a natural tendency to be upset. So this natural tendency should not boil over into complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complaining about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for him. And complaining to Allah, oh Allah, why did you make this happen to me? Okay, even at the death of a person, you know, it was very common in the old days, and it's still in many cultures, that when somebody dies, you know, the women at the burial or at the place in the house where the person died, the women are wailing and complaining. If the husband dies, for example, the wife is complaining, why did you leave us alone? Why did you leave us without any person to look after us? Why did you leave your children, you know, orphaned? Why did you leave your wife widowed? And so on and so forth, complaining. So this is something that is forbidden in Sharia. Yes, normal huzn, normal grief, as mentioned at the time of the death of the Prophet's son, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet, the Sahaba saw tears rolling down his eyes. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, why are you crying? This is basically, they thought that this was against the concept of acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet replied, this is a natural grief that every human has. And there's nothing wrong with expressing that natural grief. But then overdoing it to the point that you are complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and complaining, you know, very, very vocally, this is prohibited in Sharia, which is known as nawm. So we say that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained, whatever He's written, and whatever He wanted to happen, that happened. And then on top of that, Allah says, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Indeed, that is very difficult, that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write something and destine something and to write something to have it happen before 50,000 years, that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he goes into tackling the mentality that people have. Now there are two situations that happen to humans. The natural human instinct. When a person is going through good times, he has a lot of money, he becomes rebellious, and he becomes arrogant, and he becomes a person who is not very nice. And you see that with these stars all the time, right? These film stars or pop stars, you know, they make a little bit of money, and when they make this money, you know, they basically think that they are just on top of the world, and everybody else should basically follow them around and just almost worship them. And without naming any names, you hear about this all the time in the news, that the arrogant nature of the things that they tend to do. They think that they're above the law, They think they're above human etiquette. They think they're not obligated to be polite to anybody anymore. So this comes with that territory of having ease in one's life and having the money and the riches and all the rest, the adulation and the fame and all the rest of the things that basically, when mixed together and a person is not controlling it, it becomes a means for a person's implosion. Okay, so this is one aspect of the human nature. And then on the other hand, what happens is that a person, when he is going through difficulty, then he is at a loss and he is grieving and he becomes hopeless. Okay, so both of these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses. So in the previous ayah he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything. Everything was destined to happen, everything was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now he says, why did that happen? He says, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Firstly, whatever you lost out on, you should not be upset at that. You should not lose hope and become disconsolate at what you lost or whatever passed you by. And this is mentioned in a hadith that really, you know, whatever is going to come to you, it is not going to pass you by. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you to happen, it's not going to pass you by. And whatever that wasn't going to come to you, it would not have come to you anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written everything. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have been raised and the paper has become dry. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything and the ink of that writing has become dry. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the word لَوْ كَلِمَةُ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ أَبْوَابِ الشَّيْطَانِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that when you say the word if, then this opens up the doors of shaitan. Okay, so you go to a job interview and you do whatever you can to try to pass the interview and to get that job. And ultimately you don't get the job. So now you're thinking, you're sitting at home depressed and wondering what it was that went wrong during the interview. And then you think to yourself, you know, if only I had given my answer this way rather than that way, then maybe I would have landed that job. If I had worn a suit rather than dressed casually, maybe I would have landed that job. If I had smiled a little bit more at the manager, maybe I would have landed that job. So this word if, about the past tense, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't dwell on it. Okay? And this, there's such a great wisdom in this, that if a person thinks about this, that a person should not be dwelling about these things, it actually saves him from a lot of problems. It saves him from depression, it saves him from being miserable, it makes him satisfied with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. And this is basically a lesson, a huge lesson we learn from this ayah. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. Should never be upset and become disconsolate or hopeless about something that passed you by and something that you lost out on. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. And the other end, وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. And also that you do not become too happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. So when a person realizes that what I have, what I am earning, what I have accumulated, the money that I have, the house that I have, the family that I have, it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to me. It is not something that is because of me. It's not something because I earned it or I was so smart. You know, there are so many people, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so many lessons. You know, most of these multimillionaires and billionaires, they were mostly high school dropouts. Okay? Bill Gates dropped out of high school. Steve Jobs dropped out of high school. Michael Dell of Dell Computers dropped out of high school. Virgin, the guy Richard Branson, Virgin Atlantic, billionaire, owned so many things, dropped out of high school and he's dyslexic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you through these examples that, you know, you have this image and this, you know, thinking that I have to get a degree. Once I get a degree, then after getting my bachelor's, I'll get a master's. Once I get my master's, I'll get a doctorate. And the more I learn, the more I have a chance of landing a good job. But this is not always the case that happens. So So ultimately, yes, you do your bit, you do your best, and you try your hardest, but it's never written in stone that whatever you're aiming for and whatever you're trying to achieve, you will get. And on the other hand, many people who don't have the ability, who don't have the education, but yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them so much. So, وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, should not become arrogant with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained that for you anyway. He had written that for you anyway. It's not your smartness, it's not your intelligence, it's not your education that made that happen for you. And then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُولٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like those people who are مُخْتَال. مُخْتَال means those people that think them something of themselves. And فخور, arrogant people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like them. So especially in our society, where alhamdulillah Allah blesses us with somewhat of a comfortable lifestyle, we should never get arrogant, and we should just be grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And then the next thing that happens to such people is, they develop inside them qualities which are contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Okay? They become arrogant first and foremost, and they say that whatever I've earned, it is because of my own efforts and because of my own smartness. And then when it comes to the time for spending and giving in charity, they become stingy. They say, well, you, why don't you do the same thing? Why don't you become smart? Why don't you open your own business? Why don't you do this X, Y, and Z? And you could become rich too. Why are you looking at my money? So a natural progression of understanding or thinking that what I have earned is because of my own effort, the natural progression is that a person becomes stingy. If a person realizes that what I have is given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will give in charity, because he knows that whatever he is giving, Allah can replace it for him. Allah will replace it for him. So that's why Allah says in the next verse that Allah does not like Mukhtal and Fakhur. He doesn't like those people that think that of something of themselves. He doesn't like the people that are fakhur, that are arrogant. And what are they? الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَبْخَلُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ. They are the ones that are stingy, and they also order other people to be stingy too. You know, this happens a lot in poorer countries. A person, he takes out money to give to the poor person. You know, other people stop him. They all, don't give it to these people. These people have made it a profession to go around and beg. Okay? Which is true in many circumstances, but still, if a person wants to give in charity, he'll be rewarded according to his intention. There's no point in trying to stop him. So they also order people to be bakhil and to be stingy. الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ وَيَبْخُلُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبُخْلِ وَمَن يَتَوَلَّ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Whoever turns away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. He is the one who doesn't need anything, and he is the one that's praiseworthy. So basically what it means is that what Allah gave you, you should give in charity. And whoever turns away from giving in charity, Allah has no need for the charity in the first place. Whatever a person gives is for his own account, it's for his own investment, it's for his own good, it's for his own benefit in the hereafter. Now I'll just like to finish off by saying, mentioning a saying of Umar radiallahu ta'ala about difficulties that happen to a person and how he used to deal with it. Umar radiallahu anhu says that مَا أَصَابَتْنِي مُصِيبَةٌ إِلَّا وَجَدْتُ فِيهَا ثَلَاثَ نِعَمٍ. Whenever I was afflicted with any type of problem, I found in it three blessings. There are three blessings that I found in each and every problem that I came across. What were they? الْأُولَى أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِ. The first blessing was that affliction didn't take place in my religion. So what he's saying is that, okay, if I lose something worldly, that's fine. If I lose a camel or a horse or a house, or I lose a relative even, at least I didn't find any kind of deficiency in my deen. So yes, I don't want any kind of difficulty or any kind of deficiency to come in my religion. So that's the first blessing, he says. The second thing, الثانيه انها لم تكن اعظم مما كانت. That I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that difficulty or that problem wasn't greater than it was. So I got sick, well, you know, I got sick, but with a flu, or, you know, I was bedridden for a week. Well, what about the person who is bedridden for the rest of his life? What about the person who has cancer? What about the person who is in a vegetative state, in a coma? Okay, my flu is nothing in comparison to those people. So I should be grateful that the difficulty that I went through, it wasn't greater than it actually was. And the third thing, الثالثة أن الله يعطي عليها الثواب العظيم والأجر الكبير. The third blessing, when I come across any kind of difficulty, I believe sincerely, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that if I am patient, that He will give me a huge reward for it, a huge reward for being patient. As Allah says in the Quran, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give glad tidings to the people who have sabr, who persevere, who are patient. Who are they? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that whenever any affliction comes to them, any kind of problem comes to them, they say that إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, we belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him we return. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. These people get salutations and blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the ones that are guided. So this is basically reflecting upon the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you are patient in adversity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward you for that. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, these are the three blessings that I come across each time I'm afflicted with any kind of problem or any kind of hardship. So that's the kind of attitude that we should have when we come across difficulties and hardships. And when we have that, we will realize actually that our life will become much easier. We'll never become depressed. We'll never lose sleep at night. Leave it all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is known as Radha bil Qadha, to be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for you. This is what is meant by this. So this is the summary of the few ayat that we read today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said in that.
طلع البدر علينا من ثنيات يدها وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله دا أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفتا مدينة مرحبا يا خير دار طلعت